I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. It's going to be in a couple different passages this morning. I'm used to seeing the PowerPoint back there and seeing what's on there, so. Had to check, make sure. All right, put outlines in your thing. The great annual race. You know, when we come to the end of a year, we'll often stop and we'll think and we'll contemplate a little bit and look back at the past, things that have gone right, things that have gone wrong, things we've done, maybe some mistakes we've made, regrets. And we start to plan a little bit for the future and lay down some goals and sort of have an aim of where we're going to go. The Word of God tells us that we are in this race. It compares the Christian life to a race on several occasions. And this Christian life, this race, takes work. And as we enter 2019, we can think of this as another leg of the race. Wouldn't it be awesome if this is the year Christ comes back? Calls us home. But even if it isn't the year Christ comes back, very likely somebody sitting here this morning, it may be the end of the race. God may say, it's time to come home. You know, you've served me well, now it's time to come home. Each year brings us closer to that goal. And this is another leg of that race. And when you are in a race, your goal is to win. And even if you can't win, your second goal is to finish. You know? And to finish to the best of your ability, to finish well. You know, every runner longs to win. So what does a runner need to do to win that race? You know, they need to prepare. If you're in a race, if you're in a running race, you work at it. You practice, you do a lot of running besides the race, you take care of your body, you eat right, you get the sleep you need, you lift weights most likely, and you train your muscles, and you do all those things, and you know, probably there's hardly a week goes by that Mark doesn't come into the church and say, you're going to run, Pastor? You like running? And my answer is no. I ran track in high school. I still hated to run. You know, and yet it takes work. And you have to pour yourself into it. And if we are going to win this race, if we're going to do well in the race, there's some things we need to do. There's some things that we have to be prepared and some effort that needs to be expended. And so I'm just going to share three things with you this morning. Obviously, this is not an all-encompassing list. But if we put these three things into practice, we'd be a little more effective in this race. We'd see some better results. So you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Number one, if you're taking notes in your outline, we need discipline. We need discipline. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." It takes discipline to reach an elite level, to excel, to be the best. You know, professional athletes have more talent and abilities than the average person. But they still are not going to excel, and they're not going to reach the professional level, and they're not going to get to that point unless they are disciplined. Unless they put in the time, they practice, they develop those talents and abilities, and they get better. Another example of that is the space program. Every astronaut is said to have the right stuff. They're recruited, they're trained, they're disciplined. They're chosen carefully. They go through this rigorous training, and they have to give themselves completely to it. The military is another example. You know, if you are going to excel, if you're going to literally stay alive in some situations, you have to train. You have to be disciplined. You have to go through those activities again and again and again and again so that you're prepared. And in that life or death moment, you're ready to make the right decision. You know, this Christian life takes discipline. And in our passage here, Paul mentions several things about this race. He says at the end of verse 24, he says, you need to run so that you can win. Run in such a way that you may win. He says we need to exercise self-control in everything. Verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Paul talks about the importance of being disciplined. You know, we need to be disciplined in this race that we are involved in. We need to be disciplined in this great annual race, this Christian life that we walk in, if we are going to excel. We need to be disciplined in every area of our life. We need to be disciplined in our time we spend with God. Disciplined to study His Word every day and let Him speak to us. Disciplined to spend time in prayer talking to Him and let Him hear from us. And that's an area that I'm struggling with right now is that disciplined prayer life. You know, it's a lot of arrow prayers lately, and I know I'm not where I need to be in that walk with Christ. And probably every one of you could probably say the same thing. You know, we know it's important. We know we need to be doing it. I went researching this week, and I found this. It's back in 2012, this survey was taken. And it surveyed just churchgoers, just those who were in church, about studying the Word of God. It said only 19% of churchgoers personally read the Bible every day. 19%. 18% said rarely or never. 25% said they would read the Bible a few times a week. 14% say once a week. 22% said once a month or a few times a month. It said 90% of those that took the survey agreed that they had a strong desire to honor Jesus in all that they did. But they didn't know how because they didn't study the Word of God. If we're going to succeed in this race, it takes discipline. It takes energy. It takes effort. We have to be disciplined in what we think, what we allow to come into our mind and the things we dwell on and focus on. We have to be disciplined in what we say and how we respond to people and the situations and what our words are and what they convey. We have to be disciplined in every area of our life. If we're going to succeed in this race, Paul says we need self-control. If we're going to achieve self-control, it's not going to happen in our own strength. It's not going to happen in our own ability. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Paul tells us the only way that we can be self-controlled as if we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verses 18 through 26. Galatians 5, 18 through 26, Paul writes this, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident." He says, all right, the sinful lifestyle is evident. What you used to be is clearly seen, and this is what you see in verse 19. "Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." It says, this is your lifestyle. You're not a child of God. You don't belong to Him. But if you do belong to Him, if you are a child of God, this is what should be seen in your life. This is the fruit that your life ought to be producing. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Paul says we have to be led by the Spirit, not the flesh. If we're going to be disciplined, if we're going to be self-controlled, it's only as we're yielding to the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we're not going to get there on our own. We're not going to achieve that in our own abilities. But if we're going to succeed in this annual race, we need discipline. Number two, we need direction. We need direction. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I think I put in your outline verses 14 and 15. It's actually verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you are going to win a race, Paul says you can't take the time to look back. Forgetting what lies behind. Now, he, in this passage, just before this, he talks about, verse 8, more than that, I count all things. And before that, he's talked about his family name. He's talked about his education, his religion, who he was. He says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them all but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but that's my goal. I press on so that I may lay hold of that, for it's also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And he says in verse 13, I haven't laid hold of it yet. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. You can't win the race when you're looking back. When I was in high school, I ran track. And I loved the high hurdles. That was my event. I did well at that event, and I loved it. I ran the high hurdles and did pretty well at those, or low hurdles, excuse me, but I hated those. That was 300 meters. That was distance. That was a long way. 110 meters I could handle. And that's about 121, 122 yards, and I could handle that. And I remember when I was in junior high, and there were high hurdles set up for the high schoolers, and we were just messing around on the track, and I just went and I ran through the hurdles. And the high school coach called me over and says, do that again. I didn't think anything of it, so I did it again. Do that again. And I didn't know, if you're going to be a successful high hurdler, you need to three-step the hurdles. After you go over the hurdle, three steps, bam, three steps, bam, three steps, bam. And I just did it naturally. You know, I didn't even know I was doing it. He says, I know what you're going to do. You know, and I loved that race, and I did well at that race. And I remember there was a race, I think it was my junior year in high school, and we were in Centerville, I believe, and Centerville's track was horrible. It was this crushed cinder stuff, and you had, when you wore your track spikes at Centerville, you wore spikes that were literally about an inch long, so you could dig into the track. And we lined up on the starting line, and everyone in that race, all seven besides me, I'd beaten every time we've raced by quite a margin. And I was in the middle lane, and I remember after about two hurdles, I could hear them behind me, and I knew I was developing a good lead, and over the eighth hurdle, I knew that there was quite a distance. And as I'm going over the ninth hurdle, I looked around, turned around and looked back. And I lost my balance, and I stumbled a little bit, and I tripped over the tenth hurdle and fell down. Only time I've ever fallen in a race my entire life. I fell down, and I had that cinder embedded in my knees and my hands, and I got up bleeding, and I composed myself, and I finished second. And I remember I was so ticked off at myself because I knew what I'd done. Let me tell you, you cannot look back and not have it affect you. If you look back, it's going to affect you. If you look back, it's going to trip you up. If you look back, it's going to bring results that hurt. It doesn't do any good. Paul says, forgetting those things that lie behind. He says, you need to learn to leave the past in the past. Yes, if there's a sin struggle that I'm dealing with, I need to confess it, and maybe I need to go somewhere and make it right, but once I deal with it, I need to leave it in the past. Don't let Satan keep bringing it up and say, remember what you did? You failed. You're a loser. Because if you focus on the past, you're not going to run effectively. You're going to get tripped up, and it's going to hurt. It's going to bring pain. Forgetting those things that lie behind. Forgetting those things that are in the past. It means we have to learn to forget and move past those old hurts and wounds. That's not natural for us. Because what comes natural for us is to focus on the hurt, to focus on the pain. You know, as a pastor, I spend hours, and one of the things I like getting in before everybody else, and just because it's quiet, the phone doesn't ring, there's nobody around, and I get to spend a couple hours just studying. When there's no distractions and just focus. And I spend a lot of time studying, a lot of time reading, a lot of time preparing. You pour yourself into your message. And afterwards, you might have 10, 12 people come up and say, Pastor, thank you. That's exactly what I needed today. And God really challenged me in His Word today. And I'm going to work on this because of what God's Word says. And you know, you'll get those things that encourage you and challenge you. And maybe over in the corner, you'll hear one person say a negative comment. And then all week or month, that comment keeps coming up in my head. And you focus on that one negative thing. And pretty soon you realize I didn't get anything accomplished this week. Spent time studying, spent time working, and it was useless. Because you can't go forward while you're looking back. You can't look back and not have it affect you. Paul says, forgetting those things that lie behind. And focus, he says, reach forward to what lies ahead. Reach forward to what lies ahead. Paul's talking about taking advantage of those opportunities to serve Christ that he allows to come into our path, our way. He says, focus ahead. When I got into those starting blocks, usually, other than that one race I just talked to you about, usually, when I'm in those starting blocks and I would get set and I'd look up, I would see the finish line. I'd see that tape across there, and I knew I was going to break that tape. I knew these guys didn't have a chance. Even if, I remember when I went to States, and in my finals race, I took 8th out of 8. But I was still in those blocks looking, I'm going to break that tape. That's my goal. That's my focus. It was ahead. It was on the finish. And nothing was going to get in my way. I was tunnel vision. Paul says, looking forward, reaching forward to what lies ahead. That means going into 2019 with my eyes wide open, eagerly welcoming and expecting that there's going to be some things that come into my path that maybe I'm not planning on, but because I'm looking ahead, I'm ready. And I see it coming so I can swerve a little bit, and I can redirect a little bit, and I can still go forward in this race. There's going to be spiritual challenges that come along that maybe I'm not going to get too excited about, but my vision's going to be ahead, and I'm going to reach forward and continue to go forward and pursue what is ahead. Discipline involves, he says, pressing toward the goal. If I'm going to press toward the goal, I have to make a conscious choice to go forward. That's my direction. That's my vision. That's my plan. Paul says to press towards the goal, to press for the mark. If I'm going to do that, I have to make the best use of my time for service. I need to live my life to bring honor and glory to God. I need to live expectantly, as he's talking about in this passage. I need to live expecting that Jesus could come back in 2019. And I need to be ready. That's where I'm looking. I'm looking forward. I'm looking for the goal. That's the goal. That's the prize that Paul is striving for. And we see him sharing again and again and again in Scripture that we need to have those eternal rewards, that eternal perspective in mind. We talked about that when we went through Colossians. And when he talked about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, you know, endured the cross. And Hebrews talks about that. But then it says in Colossians, seated at the right hand of God, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is seated in heaven, having that eternal perspective. And one of the biggest problems we have in this race is we're focused on the here and now. You know, I share with you, anything over 110 meters was distance for me. I hated running. I hated it. And I remember last race of my senior year, my best friend Denny Jones and I ran the 2 mile. We weren't milers by any means. We were sprinters. So this would be fun. We ran one lap backwards and, you know, we did a lot of things. We were just messing around until the gun lap, which meant you had one lap left. And there was a girl who was 2 yards behind us. And we said, we are not losing to that girl. And I remember, so we've already done 7 laps. And even kind of messing around, you're feeling 7 laps. You know, your side's hurting, and you're in pain. And it's like, whoever does this for fun is nuts. You know, we're just, I hated that, every second of it. And I remember hearing that gun lap, and we both looked at each other like, we are not letting her beat us. And so we ran a pretty fast last lap. And I remember about halfway around that lap, my side hurt so bad. I just wanted to stop. I wanted to quit. I had tears running down my eyes. I was hurting. I'm like, I am not letting that girl beat me. I beat her by like 2 yards. But you know, if you focus on the pain and the distractions and everything, you're gonna lose the fight. You're going to lose the race. We have to be ready. We have to be all in. We have to be engaged. We have to be looking forward. Turn with me 2 more passages. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Very last chapter in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. And I want you to look at verse 12. Revelation 22, verse 12. This is Jesus Christ speaking. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. And notice what he says, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I'm coming quickly, and I'm bringing those rewards with me. And my reward is with me to render, to give to every man according to what he has done. That needs to be my goal. That needs to be my plan. In that passage, not there anymore, but Ryrie in the notes makes a little reference. He says, salvation is not of works, but rewards are. You know, I'm not going to earn salvation, but I'm going to earn those rewards by how I live my life, by the things I do. He says, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to each one according to what they've done. That should be my goal. That should be my plan. I should focus ahead. And as I'm in this race thinking, all right, I want God to send Jesus Christ back and I want to receive that reward from him. I want to hear him say, you did good. Well done, my good and faithful servant. God doesn't lie. So there are going to be those who are going to hear, welcome home. But they're not going to hear, you did good. You belong to me, but you blew it. I want to hear him say, you know what? Welcome home. Here's some prizes you've won. Here's some things you've earned. You did good. That ought to be our focus, to look ahead and to strive for that goal. Last one, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Number three, we need to be dressed for the race. We need to be dressed for the race. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us lay aside every encumbrance. Some of your translations say, lay aside every weight. If you've ever run an event in track, if you ever ran a race, you know that you want to dress lightly. You don't want any extra baggage. Christy and I love to watch the Olympics. I don't care if it's summer or winter, but when you watch the Summer Olympics and you see these athletes with their chiseled bodies, and they're wearing these body suits that are, they weigh next to nothing, and there is no wind restrictions at all because they're skin tight. There's nothing that's going to hinder them. Nothing that's going to get in the way. You know, nothing that's going to pull you back. You don't want anything to hold you back and limit your opportunity. And Paul says, laying aside every encumbrance, laying aside every weight, getting rid of all the excess baggage. Get rid of the extra weight and baggage that's going to slow you down. As we prepare for this next leg of the race in 2019, what baggage do you need to get rid of? What is it you need to let go of so that you can run effectively? So that you're ready and able to do the best of your ability. Is it something that's really concerning you and you say you've given it over to God, but you haven't? Because you're holding on to it. Maybe you just need to give it to Him. Obviously, if there's a sin issue, you need to confess it and deal with it. Maybe it's an unwillingness to forgive someone. You know, that anger and that bitterness is just holding you back. It's weighing you down. Maybe it's our pride. I got this. I don't need any help. I'm doing okay. I'm good enough. Maybe it's our negativism. And always focusing on the wrong and the hurt. And, well, this could be done better. And that person could do this better. And maybe it's our fears. Maybe we can't run freely because we're afraid of what we're going to face in the race. We're afraid of what lies ahead. He says, laying aside every encumbrance, lay aside every weight. Paul says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. All those men and women who are examples to us of things we need to do and how we need to live our lives by faith. They weren't perfect. They had sin struggles, serious sin struggles, many of them. And yet they were able to deal with those sins and get beyond those sins and be used by God for some pretty amazing things. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, follow their example. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every encumbrance. Winners lay aside those things that drain their energy and weigh them down. As we enter 2019, what weights are you holding on to that you need to give to God? You just turn them over to Him. You need to come to Him saying, God, I'm sorry because I haven't been running very well. And I've been tripped up a lot of times. But I want to get back in the race. So here's an area that you know I'm struggling with and I'm going to give it to you. Here's an area where you know I'm hurting. I'm going to trust you. Here's an area where I've been failing, but I'm going to go forward. Forgive me and help me. How are we doing in this race? I don't care how well you think you're doing, you have room to improve. There's something you could do better. There's an area where you could work harder. There's some areas that you could give to Him. There's some things you could be doing that you're not. As we enter the next leg of the race, how are you going to do in 2019? Father, thank You for the opportunities to be in Your Word, to be in church, to be here together. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the examples we have in Scripture. Lord, thank You that when we fall, You don't give up on us. You pick us up and You help us to stay in the race, to be prepared. And Lord, I just ask that You will help each one of us. Lord, if somebody here right now is not in the race because they're not a child of Yours, Lord, I ask that You will work in that heart, that You will work in that life, that You'll give them a desire to know You through faith in Jesus Christ. That they'll discover that truth in the Word of God, or they'll seek somebody out who can tell them what it means to have a relationship with You through faith in Christ. Lord, I know most of us here this morning are in the race. And some may be struggling in areas that nobody else knows about. On the outside, they look pretty good. They look like they're running pretty effectively, but there's a battle, and they're losing right now. Lord, if it's a sin issue, help them to deal with that. Help them to trust You by faith, to know that You can equip them, that You can encourage them, You can enable them for the race ahead. Lord, I think You can do some pretty amazing things if we let You. Help us to be ready. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.